has read the book The Five Love Languages? Yeah? For those of you who don't know about it, it's a book about the five different ways of expressing and receiving love. It's a pretty popular book, and it's written not only for couples, but there's versions now for like children and teenagers and families. And the writer, Gary Chapman, he spent years taking notes as he met with couples when he was counselling them, and he recognised a pattern. He realised that couples were misunderstanding one another and each other's needs. So in summary, he came up with five love languages that people may respond to. And so I'm just going to quickly just go through them. So words of affirmation. So expressing affection through spoken words, praise or appreciation. These people enjoy kind words and encouragement. Second one is quality time. This is when you give someone your undivided attention. That person feels loved if you are present and you're focused on them. The third one is physical touch. These people feel loved when their partner holds their hand, touches their arm, cuddles on the couch watching a movie at home. Acts of service. This is when a person feels loved and appreciated when someone does something nice for them, such as helping with the dishes, doing the housework, putting petrol in the car. Receiving gifts. These people treasure not only the gift itself, but also the time and the effort that the giver put into the gift. It's the thought behind the gift that really appeals to them. Now, my message this morning isn't about the five love languages, though I do recommend, you know, reading it if you haven't already. But I do remember when this book was really popular, and I worked with a guy who was married to an acts of service girl. And the whole point of this book is that you express your love to people by being aware of their love language and the ways that they receive and they give love. So this guy was a quality time guy. He loved nothing more than sitting down at the end of the day with his wife and sharing about their day, having that undivided love and attention. But she showed her love by doing things for him. She was an acts of service girl. And I remember she rang him at work one day and told him that she wanted to make him a cake. Sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? And anyone around here like that offer? I'm sure you would. And to make it even better, she wanted to know what type of cake he wanted. Who was hoping their partner is an acts of service person? Now, this was not how he received love. And it really didn't, you know, do much for him. Here was his wife who was wanting to pour her love out to her husband by baking a cake, having it ready for him when he came home from work. And he was like, oh, yeah, any kind of cake will do. I don't mind. That's fine. And she's like, oh, no. I want to make you your favourite cake. Pick whatever kind of cake you like and I will make it for you. And he's like, oh, no, it's okay. Just whatever's easiest. It's okay. Let's just say she was pretty deflated. And I don't know if he did in fact get that cake, and maybe they both need to read that book, I don't know. But here was a gift that was being presented that the recipient wasn't eager to receive. Turn to your neighbour right now and tell them what kind of cake you would have picked. And who knows, you may get a surprise during the week. Okay, Stephen, what kind of cake does Joanne want? Chocolate, okay. I don't know about that. That carrot cake looks pretty nice. Okay, this morning we are continuing our River of Life series and we're talking about how the Holy Spirit is a gift to everyone. You don't have to fit into a certain category to receive this gift. It's there for the taking. It's not being imposed on you. You just need to receive it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thank you that it's there for us for the taking. We just need to receive it and then use it. Would you please speak to us today about the power of your Holy Spirit and how you desire to move and work more in our lives? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Peter and John prayed for the Samaritan believers and the Holy Spirit came down on them, it says in Acts 8 that Simon the magician was so impressed that he offered money in order to be able to do the same thing. Peter warned him that it was a terrible thing to try and buy God's gift for money. But the account from the Bible shows that something very wonderful must have happened. And in the next chapter, in chapter 9, we see one of the most remarkable conversions of all times. When Stephen was stoned and killed, Saul approved his death and afterwards began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged men and women off to prison. And in the beginning of chapter 9, we find him still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. But Saul experienced a miraculous conversion, and he was soon preaching in synagogues himself that Jesus was the Son of God. He caused total astonishment, with people asking, "Isn't he the man that used to cause havoc and destruction, you know, among Jesus' followers?" What had happened in those few days to change Saul so completely? First, he had encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. Secondly, he had been filled with the Spirit. That moment, it says in chapter 9, verses 17 to 18, it says something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. Perhaps you have met someone, know someone, or even experienced yourself, someone who has had a complete turnaround in their lives when they came to Christ and they were filled with the Spirit. And later in the book of Acts, chapter 19, Paul, who was also known as Saul, came across a group who believed, but who had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. He placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Maybe you have believed for some time or even all your life, but you know nothing about the Holy Spirit. Earlier in the book of Acts, you can see Acts is a really big focus on the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts in chapter 10, we read about when the Gentiles were filled with the Spirit. God did something remarkable as halfway through Peter's talk, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. They experienced the Holy Spirit. Peter had to stop his talk because it was obvious that something major was happening there. They were speaking in tongues and they were praising God. So how do we experience the Holy Spirit? In John 7, Jesus talks about rivers of living water. He talks about the transformation by the streams of living water that the Holy Spirit can bring to your life. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say that Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. Jesus described how your spiritual thirst can be quenched, that hole in your soul, and the effect that this can have on your life. Jesus calls for a response in this message. He says, "Come, come to me, all you thirsty ones. Come to me and drink." And that promise is for everyone. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. It applies to all who have never experienced the Holy Spirit, but it also applies for those who are dissatisfied spiritually. Do you feel like a failure in your prayer life? Do you long for a closer relationship with God? Or if you do, you are spiritually thirsty, and the promise applies to you today. Come and drink. But what is this promise? Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flowing from within," in verse 38. Remember, by this he meant the Holy Spirit. The people gathered there hearing this message from Jesus were anticipating the river would flow out of the temple in Jerusalem, as prophesied in Ezekiel 47, which was read and enacted at the feast. But Jesus tells them that this has been fulfilled, not in a place, but in a person. The Holy Spirit is God and has the same attributes and power as God, or the power of God. And we can also see that the Holy Spirit has a personality as described in the Bible. And just a couple of examples here. Comforter. It refers to the Holy Spirit's constant presence of and in us. And this word comes from the Greek word paraclete, which means called to your side. Jesus says in John 14, 26, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." Secondly, the Holy Spirit is our guide. This refers to the Holy Spirit's role in leading and guiding us in understanding the Bible and using it in our lives. Again, Jesus says in John 16, 13, But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you of what yet is to come. An intercessor, which refers to the Holy Spirit's role in facilitating communication and speaking on our behalf with the Father and the Son. Paul talks about this in Romans 8, 26 to 27. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you simply just need to ask your good Father. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, but like a gift, we need to take it, to accept it and unwrap it, use it to its full potential and power. Luke 11, 13 puts it this way. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Remember what I said at the beginning about no conditions to the gift that God wants to give us? We don't have to twist God's arm in order to get him to fill us with the Spirit. We don't need to perform any rituals or do any special good works. We just simply need to ask God. And because our Father is a good and generous God, he loves to give the Holy Spirit to his children. He loves to fill and refill those who ask him for the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, 18 to 19, Paul tells us to be full of the Holy Spirit, which may be translated as be continually being filled by the Holy Spirit. And that is something that, you know, should be routine in our Christian life, the Spirit's fullness to be a continuing state. All of that has to do with the gift of the Spirit. He comes into our lives to save us, sustain us, and strengthen us. But the Holy Spirit is also the bestower of gifts to the believer. And these spiritual gifts from God are given to us so that we might fulfill the calling that God has on our lives. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are unique skills and abilities given by the Holy Spirit to faithful followers of Christ to serve God for the common benefit of his people, the church. That's us. They're not gifts for us to use for our own good, but to be used together for the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. One gift is not more important than another. We are one body with many parts, all working together with the gifts of the Spirit given to us to do what he has called us to do. It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 18, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it just had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And I'm sure those who have lost a toe or two can definitely, you know, testify to that. So your gift is to be used to help the body of Christ function in the world. For example, the spiritual gift of service is the hand of Christ in the world. People with this gift perform acts of service that demonstrate God's love to others. Their service may take the form of setting up chairs to carrying food to a family in need. Another example is the gift of exhortation or encouragement that can be viewed as the arm of the church, that you can put your arm around those who are discouraged or need someone to walk alongside them. But each of us, all of us, has a gift by God when you trust Jesus. That gift means that you belong to the body and you have a place of service in the body. And maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, do I have a gift of the Holy Spirit? How am I a part of the body? Since your spiritual gift is intended to be lived out in community, those who know you best can help you discover how God has gifted you for service. For example, a friend may say to you, June, I am amazed at how easily you can talk to our friends about Jesus. I get so scared. A comment like this may be a confirmation of your spiritual gift of evangelism. Someone else may comment on how easily you help them understand the Bible. This can be an encouragement of your teaching gift. Listen to what the community of faith in your life say about you as you function as a follower of Jesus. And when you get a gift that you're excited about, you want to use it. You don't just leave it there in its box looking pretty. You want to open it and play around with it and test it out and use it. And the best way to learn how God has gifted you is to serve as a member of the body of Christ. We can read about swimming. We can watch videos. We can read books about swimming. But until we actually get in the water, we won't actually learn how to swim. And it's the same for spiritual gifts. We won't really experience or develop our gifts until we go out and we use them. The best place to use our gifts is in a small group community, a place where we can be truly known, share our hearts and be vulnerable with each other. And that's where life groups are so good. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So start with what you are asked to do and see what makes your heart beat fast or what comes easier for you. Sometimes we think that God just asks us to do what we can't do or what we don't want to do. It makes more sense to do what you love, you know, to do for God. And that is the very thing that he could be gifting you to do for him all along. So what do you love to do? What are you gifted to do? What can you step out and do right now that you're holding back from doing? These gifts of the Holy Spirit can happen naturally in everyday conversation. A word of knowledge, a prophetic word, having faith in someone, praying for someone, you know, praying healing for someone, encouraging people in their relationship with God. That is why we are called not just to discover our spiritual gift, but to develop them as well. God wants to use our ordinary lives to build into the lives of others. Now is the time to unwrap the gift that God has for you, the spiritual gift. Each spiritual gift has a special place in the body of Christ. Every gift that God has placed in the body of Christ, the church, is important. Some gifts such as teaching, preaching, prophesying may seem more important than other gifts like hospitality or service. But God has given all those gifts to build up his church, and none of these gifts should be looked down upon or treated lightly. I just want us to pause and consider something. If we are filled with the Spirit, it means that God himself, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us, in each one of us. God dwelling in us. The Almighty God, the King of Kings, the one who holds the universe in his hands, dwelling in each one of us. Could I ask the worship band to come up, please? You know, the singer Robbie Williams, he once went on a shopping spree in Los Angeles and he brought 7 cars, including a brand new Ferrari, a brand new Porsche, and a brand new Mercedes. And within a week, he wished he had brought none of them. He was ruthlessly honest about his self-obsession and his addictions. In his song Feel, he sings, I just want to feel real love. There's a hole in my soul. You can see it in my face. It's a real big place. God implants this desire to feel real love in humanity. The hole in my soul is common to all human beings. It cannot be filled by cars and wealth and success or drugs. It is a God-shaped hole. It is a spiritual hunger and a thirst for God, which God told us can only be filled by his wonderful Holy Spirit in verse 7. As Christians and as the church, we are utterly dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. If we want to do great things for God, it is not through our own strength that we can accomplish anything worthy of Christ. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in us that makes the difference. So how do we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, come to me and drink. It is a promise for whoever believes in me. It's as simple as that. It can flow from you as you come and as you drink today. And it is a gift that Jesus wants to give each one of us this morning. God does not force his gift on anyone. But as I said, we can take that gift. So let's take it this morning and unwrap it and really experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Like Paul experienced in Acts, you this morning can experience a complete turnaround in your life by being filled with the Holy Spirit. As Paul then placed his hands on people and experienced the Holy Spirit coming on them, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied, this morning we want to pray for people who want to unwrap this gift of the Holy Spirit to experience all that he has for us. So why don't we stand? Why don't we worship? Why don't we come? And we're going to have opportunity after we worship to pray.